Is there anyone in here who's ever made a mistake? Praise God. I'm glad. Just once? Okay, praise God. I'm glad. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to all this pride in here. Praise God. So you made a mistake, right? Praise God. Well, bummer. That's okay, though. Did you learn from your mistake? Or do you need to learn from it again and again and again? Hello. You know, are we ready? One of the things the enemy does, the Bible says that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? And one of the things he always tries to do is break you from God's love. You know, when I was asking the Lord what he wanted to talk about tonight, he said, talk about the falling, he says, from his love. He says, my children fall from my love and don't even know it. Falling from his love. Turn to Jude chapter 5, or verse 5. You know, the enemy's tactics are wise. He's been around a long time. In fact, he was here before man was created. And I'm not talking about your ex-wife or your ex-husband or your people that you might consider carnally what your enemy. You know, your ex-mother-in-law or father-in-law or whatever it is, you know. Your ex-boss. I'm talking about Satan and his kingdom. Amen? He is your enemy. Too many times people fight in the flesh, and that's where he wants to get you, is in the flesh. Why? Because what he was trying to do is breach God's love. If he can breach God's love in your life, what happens is you actually lose the love of yourself. And it's not that you're, it's a different type of love of self. See, because there's a love of self that's a worldly sense, and there's a love of self where there's a godly sense. And it's different. And that love I'm talking about of self is an arena because you love what God has created. Not because you look in the mirror and say, oh, I love myself. Hello. And you kiss the mirror and everything else, you know. There's another love that God wants us to understand in who he is. One of the things the enemy likes to do is cause us to fall away from God's love. Did you ever make a mistake and the first thing you realized that you came to you was, oh my God, what have I done? And then the enemy comes and says, oh, God hates you now. What has he done? Just breached the love of God, hasn't he? Amen. He said, this is where my children begin to fall away. Because they don't realize that their mistakes are his problems. See, we want to pick up our mistakes as our problem. God's love says your mistake is his problem, not yours. That's all you need to do is repent and get back in position and let him fulfill what's supposed to be done. Does everybody understand that? See, there's a different love. There's a difference between human, carnal, worldly love and God's love. Hallelujah. In the book of Jude, in verse 5, it says, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, okay, so he's reminding them, right, that the Lord, having save the people out of the land of Egypt, and the word Egypt means world. Having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Now, why did they just get destroyed? Because they didn't believe. Now, this may sound strange to you, but that's God's love. Why? Because he is destroying one to save the other. Hello. Because His love is so great. You know, people just look at God's love as just, you know, tiptoe through the tulips. Oh, God loves me. You know, it's not that way. God's love is also in judgment. Amen. It's in judgment. God's expressing His love. Listen, God doesn't send anyone to hell. They do. Everybody sends himself to hell. Amen. He makes a way for heaven. He came to bring everybody home, didn't He? Not to hell. But it's things that we do that open the door for the entrance of the separation of God's love and the separation of God's presence. So He says here, He says, listen, He destroyed them because they did not believe. Look at the next one. And the angels who did not what? Keep their proper domain or in their position where God had placed them. They came from there. Those are the angels that put on flesh and came into the world. But left their own abode, and He has reserved an everlasting change under darkness for the judgment of the great day. That's God's love. Is everybody with me? As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Wow. Now you got to understand something. Why would you call that God's love? Because He's destroying something to protect someone. Or something else. Does everybody understand that? I mean, we love our children, right? I mean, you're not going to let somebody snatch your children, are you? You're going to do everything you can. If your child was walking down the street with you and a car pulled up and came out and grabbed your child, I'll tell you, I chased that thing down and I put that person right underneath his own car. Then I would repent. I mean... I ain't playing no games, man. That's God's love. It might be guy's love. I'm not going to go up to him and say, oh, I know you didn't mean it. It's okay. You just go on right ahead and pick up another child. No, I'm going to express God's love. If he doesn't stop when I bind him, and he doesn't come out when I command him, then we'll have to go another route that I choose not to express tonight. But I can guarantee you he will not outrun me. Glory to the Lamb. Okay. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, because Moses' body was buried, amen, and the angel of the Lord was coming back to get Moses' body to bring him back home. Okay. Now, he was contending over Moses' body, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. He didn't have to go after him. He said, the Lord rebuke you. You've already been sentenced. It's all over with anyways. The Lord rebuke you. Give me that body. Hello. And you also have to remember that even in Satan's fallen state, the angel of the Lord, believe this or not, was still respecting that office. Is everybody with me? So that's why he did not give a reviling accusation, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. Amen? The Lord rebuke you. Because Satan was still used to be God's right-hand man, wasn't he? Amen. It's the same thing in David and Saul. Even though Saul tried to kill David, right? And David had many opportunities to kill Saul, but he still wouldn't. He said, far be it that I should touch God's anointed. Amen? So he still respect that position. Praise God, we don't have to. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you something, you better respect who he is, because he'll outwit you in a second. He's not just some fallen angel that, is a wimp. The man, or the dude, whatever you want to call it, the devil, was there when God created the natural realm and human beings. He was there right from the beginning of this time. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, right, God created what? The heavens, all the spiritual hosts, and the earth. So all the spiritual hosts and everything spiritual was created first, wasn't it? Amen. Praise God. Okay, let's go a little further. Verse 10. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally. Hello, naturally? Like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, who was a murderer, wasn't he? Have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perish in the rebellion of Korah. Now look, we see a bunch of things here. He says, here's someone that's, they're defiling the flesh, they reject authority, they speak evil of dignitaries, right? They speak evil of things they don't understand. They corrupt themselves. They go in the way of Cain with greediness. They associate with Balaam of profit, self-sustaining, self, me, myself, and I, and associate with the spirit of rebellion. All of these things, all of these characters of an individual who's fallen from the love of God. Is everybody with me? Now look it. These are spots in your love feast. And your what feast? Your love feast. These are spots. In other words, they have fallen from God's love. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. One wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute what? Judgment or love on all. To convict all who are ungodly among them all, their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You know, so many people think, well, man, you know, ain't nothing going to happen. Hallelujah. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Now I want to explain this to you. What he's saying is the anointing is lifted from the individual. Why? Because he has fallen from God's love. The anointing is lifted from the individual. It says not having the Spirit, or not having, what's the Spirit represent? The anointing. Not having the anointing, why? Because it's lifted, and every devil in hell is trying to access this person. So everybody got it. Now then he says something very powerful. In verse 20, but you, beloved, would you read this with me? But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Very powerful. He states two things. Praying in the Holy Spirit is not only going to build your faith up, but it's going to keep you in God's love. Do you all see that? It's going to keep you in the love of God. Why? Because faith is important. Why? Because you are building your faith up. Your faith is going to be in God's love. Is everybody with me? See, we must get to a place in the anointing because God's love is a character of the anointing. Isn't it? It's a fruit of the anointing. God's love. And the anointing, we know, is God's presence, and he's always trying to manifest his presence. But one of his characters of the anointing, or what you may call a fruit of his anointing, which we call the fruit of the Spirit, is love. So by praying in the Spirit, you are building your faith up, and your faith must be built up to an area where you have faith in his love. Because if you have faith in his love, you have faith in him. Why? Because God is love. Is everybody with me? Then if you have faith in his love, you have faith in him. You have faith in the anointing. But do you all understand this? Because everything that revolves around God is the anointing. I don't know when I'm going to stop talking about the anointing. I hope never. Now listen. Then he says, and some have compassion, making a distinction. But others save with what? Fear. You know, pull somebody over the counter and tell them they're going to hell. Well, it says pulling them out of the fire is the same thing, isn't it? Hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Right? Okay. These have fallen from his love and rejected his presence of light and fallen into captivity of self. When you fall from God's love, you fall into captivity of self. And let me tell you, when you fall into captivity of self, you are requesting, by deception, the presence of darkness, in hope to fulfill the desires of your ungodly flesh. Now, in by doing this, you break the yoke of love, which is the anointing. Do you all understand that? I'll say it again. Now listen. When you are fallen from his love, what's happening is you're rejecting the presence, his presence of light. Because light exposes everything, doesn't it? And you've fallen into the captivity of self. And you're requesting by deception, you're requesting it, the presence of darkness in hope of fulfilling the desires of your ungodly flesh. And this breaks the yoke of love, which is the anointing. Hallelujah. Ready? One more time. These have fallen from his love, all right? And they rejected his presence of light. They have fallen into captivity of self. They are requesting by deception, because they're deceived. In fact, they look for it, the presence of darkness in hope of fulfilling the desires of the ungodly flesh. By doing so, they break the yoke of God's love, which is the anointing. Does everybody understand that? All from falling from God's love. Why? Because the fruit of God's anointing, the fruit of God's Spirit is love, isn't it? The fruit of God's anointing is love. God is love. But see, the enemy always wants to breach God's love in your life. So he'll do everything he can. When people begin to fall away from God's love, and I'm not saying it's broke, they begin to fall away from God's love, something begins to happen. They are already lurking for the presence of darkness and don't even know it. Because the enemy is always there to replace God's love with worldly love. There's where the deception is. Now, people find worldly love in a bottle, in a pipe, or in a bed. Hello? And that's one of the deceptions. What's happened to the individual? Now, there's a difference between backsliding and totally renouncing God Almighty and the anointing. There's a difference. Many people have backslidden. They've gone out to serve the devil, but they couldn't let go of God's love. Even though they have fallen away from God's love. Do you understand that? But the first, you know, they've, because the devil has stepped in and replaced God's love with other things, but yet they're still holding on to both sides. But they began to choose the devil's love because of the deception, and they've backslidden. They've come to the point where they've actually broken covenant, but they're still in a backslidden condition because they've not really let go of God's love all the way yet. They have fallen from it. But then there's a time when an individual just finally lets go of God's love, renounces God Almighty and the anointing, and it's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, where there is no return. None. An individual cannot be restored. It's over. Hello. That's when an individual rejects God's love. Because the Bible talks about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. What are they doing? They're rejecting God's love. They're rejecting God's anointing. They're rejecting it. They have severed it and let it go. And they died. There is no return. Only God's love keeps us from going to hell. Because we're choosing God's love instead of the world's love. Is everybody with me? Okay, good. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Oh, glory. So we see here, it's very powerful. So by praying in the Spirit, you're going to build up your faith. Your faith is going to get built up so that you have faith in God's love. Oh, hallelujah. And that's what's going to keep you, isn't it? In fact, you know, if you think about it, when you are really filled with God's love, that you make different decisions, don't you? You make different choices. I mean, everything you do is totally different when you're filled with God's love. But once you begin to fall away from God's love, your decisions change big time. First John chapter 2 is just for you. Oh, to God be the glory. Are you all right? Why are we talking about this? Because the Lord wants us to get discernment again. He wants us to realize certain things. Remember, the enemy is always attacking one way or another. And what you don't know how he attacks is a dark area in your life, because only truth is light. So he says, my people are destroyed for what? Oh, yeah. Go to Hosea 4:6. We'll come back to 1 John chapter 2 in a momento. Glorious. Hallelujahs. Praise be to God. Hosea 4:6. In the white pages. Glory to God. I know it's in there somewhere. There you go. Come on. Thank you. Hosea 4:6. Is everybody there? Good. Y'all don't know this by heart. Come on, read it with me in case you don't. So that you can tell everybody else what it is. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Whoa. What's knowledge? Truth understood. So if you have truth that's not understood, it's really not truth, is it? That's why people don't get free. Man, they can read the Bible, quote the scriptures upside down. But they're not free. Why? Because the knowledge is not understood, then it cannot be truth. I mean, the truth is not understood, and it can't. You know, amen. Something like that. All right, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you have what? You have rejected knowledge. I also will what? Reject you from being priests for me. Ooh, that's somebody close. That's someone God can trust. And because you've forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. And you say, well, man, that's kind of crude. No, that's love. Let me share something with you about the Bible. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he didn't tell you to go to or sit in a corner and twiddle your thumbs. The Bible is associated with you do something, I'll do something. You did not get saved unless you did something. Amen? You first had to repent. You had to humble yourself, eat a little humble pie, lots of whipped cream. Amen? Till you were foaming at the mouth. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy upon me. Help me. What were you doing? Eating humble pie. Amen? So you had to repent first. Then there was something else you had to do. You had to accept him as your Savior and confess his name. And he said, okay. So there is a price to pay. The Bible says, draw near to God and then he'll draw near to you. Amen? There's a spiritual law called sowing and reaping. It's not reaping and sowing. Amen? You sow first and then you reap. Now, some of us are still reaping some of the things that we've been sowing. But that's what's so wonderful about praise and worship and getting in God's presence. Because now you're able to sow in the Spirit and start outrunning some of the reaping that's due to us. Hallelujah. Okay, so my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Right? Truth understood is knowledge. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Why are we talking about this? Because it's another tactic of the enemy. Thank God it was shut. It's another tactic of the enemy to move God's people away from God's love. Amen? Okay, turn to 1 John chapter 2. I want to share one thing else with you as we turn to 1 John chapter 2. You know, in this difference between God's love and worldly love, or what we might call human love, carnal love, you know, where you have a lust affair, you know. In this difference, worldly love always has attachments. There's always strings attached. There's always a string attached somewhere. You know, you remember when we were kids, well, if you love me, do this. Jump in front of that car. Show me your love. Oh, boy, you must really love me. Now, who's going to pay for all that? You know, then they leave you because you'd be all broken up, man. That's called worldly love. Worldly love has a state of, what is it for me? All right? It's, what is in it for me? That's called worldly love. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, would you read it with me? It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wow. Why? Because what's happened? It's been exchanged, hasn't it? Now, was the love of the Father in them before? Yes. But it was exchanged because what we just talked about. The requesting by deception the presence of darkness to fulfill the ungodly flesh. In other words, a person is now looking for love of the world and running from the love of God. Is everybody with me? Good. Now watch. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Oh, hallelujah. So he's talking about abiding in his love. You have no choice but to do his will. You love to do his will. You love to deny yourself. You love to wait on God. You love whatever God loves because His love is now in you. And because it's flowing in you, His love is manifesting through you. That means the anointing is there. Now the anointing is breaking every yoke of bondage. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. Whoa. Fear. Now, again, the love of the world is human love, which is, you ready? Selfish. How about possessive? Selfish, possessive, covetous, jealous, and spiritually bankrupt. That's the love of human, or love of world, worldly love. We call it, in simplicity, lust. That's worldly love. Why? Because lust can't give up. Lust can't let go. That's why people have problems in jealousy and fighting and relationships and so forth. Because they really never loved the person. They lusted the person, so they can't let go. Anything that you lust over, whether it be material or whatever, could be idolatry. Amen? Could be an idol. It could be anything in your life that would begin to cause you to fall away from God's love. Because the devil replaces it with worldly love called lust. And that will break the anointing. Is everybody with me? So one of the ways to maintain the anointing in your life is to walk in God's perfect love. Again, worldly love is selfish and possessive. It's covetousness and jealousy. And it's spiritually bankrupt. Listen, we are in a ministry of God's love, not human love. That's why people don't understand sometimes. We have a teaching called tough love. So you got somebody that comes in knocking on your door. Hey, I know I smell. I've been up for a few days and I need a 20. I need 20 bucks. For what? I need to go get some food. Oh, really? You know, I need to make a long-distance phone call. Or my kids don't have any food. Well, 20 bucks ain't going to do it, bro. Now, a person out of human love will say, poor thing. Devil's got you all bound up. Here's $20. Take 40. And the devil's standing behind a person, yeah, take 40 and kill yourself. Does everybody understand? See, human love walks in jealousy. Where are you going? I saw you look at that girl or that boy. See, there is no trust in God. Humanly love severs the love of God. Is everybody with me? It causes an individual to begin to fall away from God's love. They lose faith in God's love, so they lose faith in God and they lose faith in His presence. It's called human love. See, you and I were birthed with human love. You know what we were birthed for? The first thing we said is, "Give me!" Man, we couldn't pray in English, and we couldn't pray in anything else, or anything. We couldn't speak as these mumbling words. We were already interpreting tongues by then. Trying to pray in the Holy Ghost because we didn't have no teeth or nothing. You know, we were just, you know, trying to get something to drink. Come on, give me! As soon as we came out of the womb, wow, me. That's human love. And we'd wake the whole house up every 2 to 4 hours. Feed me! We pooped our pants, peed our pants, and they wiped us. Clean me! human love. Everything was about me. Then we begin to crawl. Whoa. Where are you going? Wherever I want. Come on, catch me before I fall. Amen. Man, get all those bottles out of there. Why? Because this kid drinks everything. Human love. It's all about me. And the child grows up, toddler, and begins to speak. The first thing out of his mouth is, that's mine. That's mine. What do you mean? I just went out and bought it. That's mine. It's mine. And then they go to somebody else's house and take their stuff and say, that's mine too. I don't know how they got mine over at your friend's house, but that's mine. It's called human love. Why don't you share that with such and such? Why don't you buy them another one? Then I can take it back and I can have two of them. That's human love. Oh, hallelujah. There is a difference between worldly love and godly love. Again, worldly love always has strings attached. Amen? It's a taker. Godly love is a giver. Worldly love says, well, you know, I'm still married, but my wife has been gone for 4 years. But I'm not divorced, and I know where she lives, and I know this, or, you know, we're still married, and I'm looking for a husband to replace the one I'm not divorced with yet, the one I've not left yet. That's worldly love. See, worldly love always has a need of companionship. Does everybody understand that? Godly love says, Lord, whatever you want. And then when the need of companionship comes, there is a false fulfillment because they can't complement because it was done out of worldly love instead of godly love. And there's always a bouncing in between them. There's never a unity until it becomes godly love. Does everybody understand this? Listen, my wife and I were married 8 years. It was worldly love. We thought we loved each other. I'm not saying we didn't according to the ways of the world. But when we got divorced and then reconciled, it was godly love. Because now we complement one another, not, oh, good job. We complement one another to manifest God's love. There's a difference, which says, give, not take. Give. You know, it blows my mind that men and women have to have separate bank accounts because of fear someone might do something with their money. Man, that is not godly love. And I'm not saying, I mean, I've got my bank account and she's got a bank account, but we have joint bank accounts also. But it doesn't matter about what's what. We could care less. She's a signer on my account and I'm a signer on hers. I can go take all the checks I want. And feed the poor. Praise God. Well, honey, I was poor that day. No. But what's happened is our faith in God's love. See, so when there's a circumstance or something arises in the household where there's a not an argument, because we don't argue. We may not agree on some things, but that agreement is turned over, or disagreement is turned over to the Lord. So it doesn't interfere with our relationship. See, but worldly love will try to prove one is right and one is wrong. That's worldly love. Does everybody understand this? See, godly love says, listen, I'm not going to let anything interfere with God's love. Because you're responding according to God's love, not according to the worldly love. If you so respond according to the worldly love, you begin to fall away from God's love. Because what you sow is what you reap. See, how many times did you want to respond according to the arm of the flesh instead of the love of God? Amen? Oh, to God be the glory. Is everybody all right? Y'all quiet tonight. What's up? Turn to John 3 while we're around. John. John 3. John chapter 3. Praise God. Devil, we're going to expose you tonight. You've been tricking us long enough. We're going to come against your worldly, deceptive love. You know, when I had my encounter with the Lord and I've expressed this over, the first thing I realized is that I was looking for Him. But I was looking for godly love. The whole time, I tried to buy it in a bottle. I tried to buy it in a baggie. I tried to buy it in a pipe. I tried to buy it everywhere. I tried to buy it in material, cars, motorcycles, all kinds of stuff. Couldn't find it. It was just temporary. And I realized when He filled me with His Spirit and His presence showed up and ripped through me, I'm like, it's You I've been looking for. It's You. The whole time. The whole time. It's You. And I remember this distinctively because I saw bottles and dope and everything. It's You. The money, I was looking for love. You, it was You. The booze, the women, the nightclubs, the limousines, the this, the that, all of it. Man, it was You. I was looking for the whole time. It was You. After my encounter with the Lord and the filling of the Spirit, I was fulfilled. Why? Because I just got filled with the love that I've been looking for my whole life. I didn't care. Now I can go home. My life was fulfilled that moment. And I didn't even do anything. I just accepted His love and got the revelation that it was Him the whole time I was looking for. Oh, glory. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, the famous scripture, would you read it with me? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So love does what? Gives. Now let's go a little bit further because most of the time you don't hear the rest of this. I think John 3:16 is kind of worn out in the Bible. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be what? Saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is what? Condemned already. That's God's love. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So what happened was they fell in love with the love of the world and rejected the love of God. Why? Because God's love is light. The devil's love is darkness. It's full of deception. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. You remember you used to go to those bars? Man, you turned on the light and you see every devil in hell. Man, I didn't know you looked like that when we got here. I mean, everybody wanted to run out the front door. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they may have been done in God or in God's love. See, what happens is they reject God's love and accept darkness love. So they sneak. They do things at night. Now, the expression of doing things at night means doing things behind closed doors. Oh, yeah. Yes, we'll do a little fornication here, a little smoking here, a little this there, and a little that there. Oh, I love the world. And the love of the Father slowly getting further and further away. Does everybody understand this? And then the next thing you know, we're going after the love of the world and not even realizing that we've just left the love of God. Not that he's left us. We left him. Amen? Oh, praise God. Remember, God's love is a giver. It's a character of the anointing is love. Amen? Go to 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. Is everybody okay? Oh, praise God. Man. 1 John chapter 4 and verse something. Oh, praise God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse... Oh, okay. Verse 8. 1 John 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Worldly love betrays. Worldly love betrays. What does it do? It betrays friends, family, hello, and God. Worldly love is never trusted. Did you ever get around someone and say, man, I really love you, yeah, but you can't trust that person for nothing? Why? That person walks in worldly love. And they can speak all they want. Yeah, man, I really love you. Yeah, give me low five, high five, medium five. I love you. Man, I'll do anything for you, man. I love you. Glory to God. That's worldly love. Why? Because you know you can't trust that person. You say one thing, that person will not show up, won't do something, whatever. You know what I'm saying? You don't leave your wallet out with that person? Hello? You know, you don't know whether, you never know what that person is going to do. But they sure got a lot of love tongue. But the heart ain't right. Worldly love. Amen? Worldly love betrays friends, family, and God. Judas walked in worldly love. Does everybody understand that? Judas walked in worldly love. Why? Because he had love of money. He wanted to use God's anointing to build the kingdom as an empire. He did not have revelation of the purpose of why Jesus really came. Even though he saw miracles, signs, and wonders and everything, he never received the love of God. He kept rejecting it. The only thing he had was the love of the world. Not only did he betray his family, his friends, but God himself. Is everybody with me? That's why the Bible says in the last days, their brother will come against brother. And they'll claim to be Christians, but they will not be filled with God's love. They'll be filled with the world love. And they will betray you and set you up to save their own neck. Because they're takers, not givers. But they have a form of giving. You know, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. That's where it says these are ones to stay away from. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the anointing. They deny the love of God. They deny the power. They don't speak it, but their fruits show it. Amen. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 13. Falling from his love. Oh, hallelujah. I know we don't want to fall from his love. 1 Corinthians 13. Is everybody okay? In verse 4. Let's talk about godly love. Would you read it with me? Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. You know why it's not provoked? Because it can't penetrate the anointing. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Why? Because love is the character of God's presence. And in that presence is the anointing, and the anointing will never fail. Never. Go to Galatians 5. Praise God. Falling from his love into the hands of worldly love. See, you and I were now taken out of worldly love and falling into the hands of godly love. And it's totally different. Taken out of Egypt. Glory to God. There's a good song by the VeggieTales talking about coming out of the land of Egypt and going to the land of promise. If I knew it, I'd sing it, but I wouldn't want to hurt anybody. I wouldn't want to promote worldly love. No. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, now what's the word Spirit represent? The anointing. So where you see the word Spirit, write anointing. Would you read it with me? For the fruit of the Spirit or the anointing is what? Oh, glory. It's the first one, isn't it? Love, joy, hallelujah, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Isn't that something? Gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the anointing, let us walk in the anointing. Oh, glory. Love is the fruit of the Spirit, which is the character of his presence or his anointing. We need to become more love conscience and less self conscience. Hallelujah. Come on, say it with me. We need to be more love conscious instead of self conscious. So we need to reject self-conscious, don't we? Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse Praise be to God. Verse 25. Therefore, putting away what? Lying. Putting away lying. That's L-Y-N-I-N-G. I'm not talking about putting away lying down, sleeping. I'm talking about lying. Lying is associated with betrayal. Is everybody with me? Come on, say lying is associated with betrayal, which is associated with worldly love. Now, verse 25, therefore what? Putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 27. Nor give place to the devil. You know, as a Christian, in your complete walk, the only way that you will be successful as a Christian is to never, never make place for the devil. And one of the areas that the devil is going to try and make place in your life is by causing you to fall away from God's love. There's a difference. To be successful as a believer, you must never allow the devil to have place in your life. Doesn't mean you won't be tempted. Doesn't mean you won't be attacked. Doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. I'm talking about a place in your life is where he's walking with you. Hello. Where he's walking with you. Where there's something associated with darkness that you're still walking with. If this is associated with darkness and you're still walking with it, you have made place for the devil. You are doing all the other right things, but there's still that one place that you've allowed him access. That's making place for the devil. And what happens is with that one little place, you begin to fall from God's love. Bit by bit, you begin to fall away from his love. And what's going to happen is this little thing is going to grow into a 55-gallon drum. And it will be love for you. Does everybody understand it? Because where there's one, there's more. Oh, hallelujah. We just anointed in Jesus' name. Praise God. Now, are we done? Ephesians 4:25. Did we do that yet? Oh, no. Okay. Oh, wait. Well, hold on. In verse 28. And let him who stole steal no longer. Why? What's he doing? Now he's fulfilling and feeding worldly love. He becomes a thief, a liar. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to whom who is in need. What's he doing? Now he's changing from taking to giving. And let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers instead of corruptible seeds. Hello. And do not what? Grieve the anointing. Grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Then he tells you, he says, man, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God forgave you. Make no place for the devil. Worldly love. That's his character, the devil's character, isn't it? What? To use, manipulate. We must have faith in God's love to overcome. Amen? Go to Titus 3. hallelujah. And verse 3. Well, Titus 3, verse 3. I'm going to have to move a little bit quicker. So fan your neighbor with the pages. Is everybody all right? Are you getting this? Titus 3, verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, boneheaded, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures. Why? Because it was worldly love. Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Well, that sounds like the world to me. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the what? Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit restores God's love. Amen. Whom He poured out on us abundantly through Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Come on, I'm there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Oh, your life is going to change tonight. Why? Because you've exposed another part of the devil that he's been playing games with you. First John chapter 2 and verse 18, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the anti-Christ or the anti-anointing or the anti-love is coming. Even now many antichrists have come. Woohoo. By which we know that it is the last hour. Why? Because there are many who have a form of godliness but deny the power. Is everybody with me? What are they denying? God's pure love. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been with us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifested that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So you're talking about the anointing of God. The anointing of God's love. The character of God's anointing is love. Isn't it? It's the fruit of it. Oh, hallelujah. Remember, the spirit of Antichrist is against the anointing. The enemy of God's love is Satan. He's the spirit of Antichrist. Has everybody got it? He promotes human love. Let me share with you a couple of other things that are the enemy of God's love. Strife is an enemy of God's love. You know, it's another, the greatest one of all. The enemy of God's love, of course, we know is lust. Okay. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So he's saying, listen, if you're willing to cleanse yourself, how do you cleanse yourself? Repentance. Amen? The washing of the blood, the washing of the word. Flee also useful lust, in other words, worldly love. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, which is godly love. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Strife is an enemy of God's love. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do the devil's will. Enemies of God's love, strife, and unforgiveness. Amen? Go to James 4. Praise be to God. Falling from his love. James chapter 4. In verse 4. James 4, 4. And it says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Why? Because you've become a friend of Satan and worldly love. Now, worldly love is going to come against godly love, isn't it? So what happens is you actually make yourself God's enemy. He's not yours. Does everybody understand that? He says, if you love the world, right? If you love the world, then the love of the world is in you, and it makes you an enemy of God because God is love. Is everybody with me? See, this is where people will say, man, you know, I mean, and I know it's an expression, man, I really love that car, I love this, I love that. That's an expression. It's called worldly love. Godly love is different. Because most people, when they say, man, I love that car, they want it, and then they don't want to give it up. Even if God appeared before them. Hello. They can't give it up. See, worldly love doesn't even want to look to God. He doesn't. Worldly love will not allow God in that person's life because of fear of having to give up something. But godly love will allow God in every part of an individual's life because he'll realize that by having faith in God's love, every need is met. There is no want. Everything is fulfilled. Everything is met. There isn't anything he would hold back from you. See, now you know that because you have faith in his love. You know when you're sick, you'll get healed. Of course, the enemy's going to try and throw every kind of tactic, fear, and everything else. When you're out of work, you know he's going to provide it. Does everybody understand that? You know that he is. Why? Because you are now trusting in his love of who he is and provider and healer and deliverer. He is now your hope and your strength and your life. See, but worldly love is looking for self. Self-promotion, relying on talents, relying on me, myself, and I. Why? Because it's selfish. Worldly love cannot trust God and only trust things that it can feel, see, and how much money is in the pocket, though. That's Spanish. Did you know that? I don't know. Maybe it's Mexican. I don't know. Maybe it's just backyard lingo. How about that? All right, it's pulpit lingo. Okay. Praise God. Okay. Is everybody all right? Don't let the love of the world enter you tonight now. Glorious. Glory. A friend with a worldly love is an enemy of God. Now listen, to live and walk in forgiveness, because that's a really enemy against God's love, isn't it? People get offended real easy and so forth. What they do, they say, look to grace. In fact, they use unforgiveness to fulfill worldly love. People have been offended. Things don't go according to the way they want. They get offended. Then they hold bitterness or unforgiveness and they produce strife. But I want you to know something, that unforgiveness will sever that anointing quickly. To live and walk in forgiveness, are you ready? To live and walk in forgiveness, to maintain God's love, you must resist pride. Because if you cannot resist pride, you won't resist unforgiveness. Does everybody understand that? And that will keep you a friend of the world. So to walk and live in forgiveness, you must resist pride. Keep yourself, this is what we must do, we must keep ourselves in God's love. And by keeping ourselves in God's love, it not only takes an effort, but it takes a desire. Why? Because what's the desire? The desire is to please Him. And by pleasing Him, you must become disciplined. Listen, this doesn't happen overnight. There it is, okay. And you can't just go have somebody lay on you and say, oh, I got the anointing now. No, don't work like that. That person paid the price for the anointing, and so do you. It just doesn't get passed on. There it is, hallelujah, it's done and over with. People tell me, yes, I've been anointed by this, and I've been anointed by this, and I've been anointed. Man, I've been anointed by 45 different pastors. I got it all now. Right, you can't even follow the Holy Spirit yet. You still can't resist the devil. Yeah, empty your pockets. There's cigarettes, a pipe. And yeah, I've been anointed by everybody. That's wonderful. The anointing does not associate with worldly love. Doesn't, and it won't. Because worldly love associates with self, and the anointing will not associate with self. Amen? So you must keep yourself in God's love. Again, it takes effort and desire to please Him and discipline. It takes practice, doesn't it? It doesn't come overnight. Listen, you cannot get sucked in the ring of unforgiveness, because it produces bitterness and strife. And it's a character of the enemy's presence, isn't it? God has His character and His fruits of His presence. And so does the enemy. Worldly love, strife, unforgiveness, works of the flesh. In the book of Romans, it tells us that we are not to be conformed to this world, but what? Transformed by the renewing of our mind. In other words, that takes practice, doesn't it? Because the word renewed means to bring things to remembrance. So you're going to have to put it into practice, aren't you? It takes practice to walk in God's love. It's important that we develop faith in His love. Listen, and to learn how to retaliate in God's love instead of the arm of the flesh. Amen? Listen, you know why you want to retaliate? Go cast out a devil. You want to get to the enemy? You want to retaliate? Express God's love by laying hands on someone and watching God heal them. Hello? You want to retaliate? By interceding for someone's life. That's how you retaliate to the devil. I've seen people retaliate to the devil. Oh, you jerk! Ooh. Like he's not heard that before. Oh, slough forth and all kinds of stuff I've heard people call the devil. I mean, you know, it doesn't offend Him, I can tell you that. What offends them is you walking in God's love. What offends them is that you're walking in the anointing, because He fears the anointing of God. He Himself fears the anointing of God. Hello? In Ephesians chapter 2, you don't have to go there. It talks about we're dwelling in the place of the anointing. Dwelling in the place of the anointing. In Ephesians 4, it talks about walking in the fullness of the anointing, where Christ is, where the fullness of Christ is manifested in you, all in Ephesians. Ephesians 3, it talks about being rooted and grounded in God's love. And Ephesians 4, it talks about being the fullness of the anointing. Would you turn to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to close here. I'll give you these scriptures, Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22, which is talking about dwelling in the place of the anointing. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19, it's talking about being rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. And Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16, is talking about the fullness of the anointing. And we'll turn to Philippians. I'll repeat that if we need it. Do we need it? Well, I got a 50-50, so get it from your neighbor. Praise God. Buy the tape. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? First four verses. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ or the anointing, if any comfort of what? Love. You see how they go together? Isn't that wonderful? If any fellowship of the Spirit, praise God. If any affection and mercy. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love and being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Godly love. You will begin from this night forward to sense and interpret when you begin to fall away from God's love. That's the importance. Lord, show me. Grant me the discernment and sensitivity to when I begin to fall away from your love. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We ask for your blessing and the protection on this word that it will grow and bear fruit for your glory. And that your love will abound more and more in each and every one of us, exposing the worldly love that we may nullify it and express the anointing love, that you may be pleased in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.